you hear the good news? You don't have to run and hide. You can drop all your defenses. His arms are open wide.
This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue our message titled, The Blood Still Speaks.
The prosecution concedes the penalty is taken care of, but argues against the freedom from sickness and disease. But then your attorney, Jesus, says, Your Honor, I call the witness again. The bread, my body, which was broken for them. And I called the witness Matthew 8:17, which says he himself referring to me. You can put it Matthew 8:17. He himself referring Jesus to himself. I bore their sickness on the tree. Just like Isaiah said, the infirmities and the cost of their sickness was upon me. So again, Jesus is stepping up for you. Satan said, okay, well, whatever, but they ought to be sick. He said, no, Your Honor, they shouldn't be sick either. They don't have to be sick. They eat the way they're supposed to eat and eat what I said food was and not eat poison and keep their minds and their hearts right. They don't have to be sick because I paid the price. Amen. He says, I call again 1 Peter 2:24, which tells us that by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. Ye were, you are. They say in the Old Testament are, and then they say were. You are, even before it happened, spoken prophetically by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 that said Jesus bore our sicknesses on the tree, and by his stripes we are healed. Then the New Testament, because God considers it done, now that Jesus bore it, they jump on the other side of Jesus bearing. It was prophetic that it was coming, and you can receive it by faith. Now it's afterwards, and they look back and say, by Jesus' stripes you were healed. It may shock some of you, but God already sees you healed, even if you're sitting here sick. And what I mean by that is he says, I've done all I'm going to do about it. I shed my blood. My body was broken. Now you just got to live right and not be a sinner. And live right, it goes together. Goes together. Blood and the body. You want to be healed? You got to live right. You got to do right. Got to be righteous and holy. And then you got to receive the fact that Jesus paid the price. Yeah. Oh, well, healing went out with days of the apostles. Healing is not for today. It's funny. That's not what Jesus said. How much do you want to be on trial? How much do you want Satan to be able to hold against you? God says, I've taken it all away. I redeemed you from poverty, from sickness, and spiritual death. You've been redeemed from the curse of law. And we study the Old Testament and see that the curse of law is trifold. It's poverty, it's sickness, and spiritual death. If Jesus has truly redeemed you, and it says in John that he came that you might have life and that you might have abundantly. Abundant life includes health. Abundant life includes financial blessing. Like they said, of Gaius and God is no respecter of persons in 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Listen to what God says for what Satan says. Because if you're sitting over here and Jesus is your advocate and he's telling you things and you're sitting over there agreeing with the devil, you're going down. Your attorney is right. Agree with your attorney. I mean, the attorney's telling you it's fixed, it's rigged. Just go along. And folks still there, but I got to be sick. Because we know in this world, there's many persecutions and trials and tribulations. Now, it doesn't say anything about sickness. Jesus went through trials and tribulations. What day was he sick? He went through trials and tribulations. Tell me which day he was poor. The man had a treasure. You don't need a treasure if you're poor. Had a treasure was still in. Nobody knew. He must have had more than 2 cents in there. Everybody said he wore raggedy clothes. They said he wore a royal robe. So in his day, he was wearing Armani. That didn't make you any more spiritual because you're in an Armani suit or a Sears suit. It's not about that. But don't paint him like he was this poor beggar traveling around. He was not a poor beggar. He had everything he needed. He multiplied what he needed. And a lot of people don't understand. Sometimes there were situations where, like they say, the son of man, the birds of the field have a place to lay their head, but the son of man has nowhere near his head. And I heard preachers preach that Jesus was poor. He had no house. He had nothing. And he was in another town at that time. That's an example. I always say, if I got an invitation to go preach in Houston, and I get on a plane, I go there, I fly there on my own nickel, and the sorry church don't even show up to pick me up. Nobody's there. They canceled it. Nobody called to tell my secretary to tell me. So here I'm in town, to the airport. If you call and say, what you going to do? I don't know. I got nowhere to lay my head tonight. Because I didn't book a hotel. I didn't book anything. I got to go find something. Jesus was out of town when that was said that. And he said, the Son of Man have nowhere to lay his head. When he was back home, he had a place. They say all kind of crazy stuff. The apostles didn't have any wives. They said Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Last time I checked, I have a mother-in-law, you got to have a wife. Or at least at some time have had one. So I kind of figured he had a wife. But see, people don't read the whole Bible. They read parts of it and think they know what it says. Jesus did not walk around poor. He didn't live poor. He had more than enough all the time. He was never lacking. Oh, but why did he have to go get fish out to sea? Why did he go get coin to pay the taxes? I said, well, the fact that he could mean he wasn't broke. Why do you go to work? So you can have some coin to pay your taxes. Does that mean you're poor? No, you go to work, you got money. He had all he needed whenever he needed it. And always had extra to take up. Always had abundance beside. Jesus, we got to get that mentality out of our mind of him being poor. No, if you think he was poor and you think he commands you to be like him, you get deceived into thinking there's some piety in poverty. But Jesus says, I wish above all things that you prosper him in health. And that's all prosperity, not just financial, not just health. That's all prosperity. He says the word of God is given that you might be thoroughly entire, furnished, perfect, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Any lack is of the devil.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
Does that mean you're poor? No, you go to work, you got money. He had all he needed whenever he needed it, and always had extra to take up. Always had abundance beside. Jesus, we got to get that mentality out of our mind of him being poor. No, Jesus, if you think he was poor and you think he commands you to be like him, you get deceived into thinking there's some piety in poverty. But Jesus says, I wish above all things that you prosper him in health. And that's all prosperity, not just financial, not just health. That's all prosperity. He says the word of God is given that you might be thoroughly entire, furnished, perfect, wanting nothing, lacking nothing. Any lack is of the devil. None of us are God. I hate lack so much that I get like two of everything. When we down to the last one, buy another one, because I don't like running out. You know, you going to do something, maybe you're just doing staplers and you, oh man, the last staple is gone. I don't have any more. That's running out. That's lack. I don't like that. I'll buy two packs of staples, and when I open up the last one, there's a whole full pack there. Got abundance. There's a whole full pack there. And when I open up the second to the last one, I put on a list to buy another one. I may take months to get it because that's going to be there for a while. So I don't like running out. I open my cabinet, I got plenty of paper, plenty of pencils, plenty of pen. Open up the bank, got plenty of money, got plenty of this, plenty of that. You know, I won't be lacking. I don't even like that spirit of lack. I may not be able to fill the bank up with as much as I like to stack it, but I can buy two packs of staples. You can start somewhere. You can have two tubes of toothpaste, two bars of soap. I don't like running out. I don't believe lack belongs to me. But it's how you manage your finances and the decisions you make to whether you experience lack or not. Lack doesn't just happen. And abundance doesn't just happen. But I believe God wants me to be blessed. So with the finances I have, I'm not struggling crazy. I don't have extra cars laying around. Not anymore. We had some extra ones at a time or two, and we gave them away. I said, better sow it than just sit on it. Somebody doesn't have a car. What do I need three for? Get one away. Now, if it comes a time where you got that kind of money, you might have extra cars. I drive that one on Tuesday and that one on Wednesday. And you can complain and be upset about it. I say, I'll tell you how to have multiple cars. Is that something I'm chasing? I don't care. But if I had the kind of money and I wanted a car for Tuesday, God's not against me having a car just for Tuesday. After all, me having didn't cause you to lack. Your father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You just got to use your faith to get one. And that's what's going to come down to. The more individuals get blessed, the more other people get envious and jealous, and they try and kill you off with their tongue. You can always tell an envious person. Somebody gets blessed. They get a new job, get a bunch of money, and that person's like, well, you know, they went and got a new car. Well, do you think with their kids going to be going to college in a few years, they should buy that new car? Well, I think it's not your business. That's what I think. I think you ought to learn to rejoice with them to rejoice. Like the Bible said, I don't think you ought to be worried about them. And the thing is, you don't care nothing about their kids. You ain't donated to their kids' fund. You upset that they got it and you don't. So you're trying to figure out some way that they shouldn't have it. That spirit of poverty. That's not what's said. Jesus has paid too high a price for you to have lack. But you got to cooperate in wisdom. He's paid too high a price for any human being on this earth to ever end up in hell, but most of them going to end up there. I've paid your legal fees. I've never lost a case. Can I please be your lawyer? I don't know. Let me think about it. I don't know. That's what it comes down to. And I like to paint a picture like that because one day, everybody who doesn't receive Jesus Christ, while they're breathing on this earth, will stand before something called the white throne judgment. The white throne judgment is only for the guilty. It's only for folks who are going to hell. It ain't got nothing to do whether God's deciding your case. That's already been decided. What it is he's there to explain to you why you're going to hell. You study it. That's what the white throne judgment is about. It's not like God doesn't know or he's trying to decide. No, anybody at the white throne judgment, you already in trouble. Right. Yeah. So if you leave this earth and you go into the afterlife and they direct you to a door that says white throne judgment room, you know the sentence already. You can just say, I know I did wrong, just save the time. Because if you go to white throne judgment, you're in trouble. Already in trouble. Now, you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You want to accept Jesus Christ as your attorney. You want to accept his blood because that's the only way you're going to wash away the sin. The only way you're going to be healed in your body is to accept that he has healed you. There can be some natural healing because everybody has healing in their body. God gave everybody healing. If you cut your hand, it's going to heal whether I pray for you or not. So God has been so good that he spotted everybody a measure of healing. Your body will heal itself. But sometimes you got things like cancer invading your body. You got conditions, leukemias and multiple sclerosis and things like that. You need a touch from God. You need to be able to take your faith and receive from God because what you need now is a miracle because this thing is beyond the level of a cut. You may need this thing to come out today or you die. You might need these arteries unblocked right now. Or you can die of a massive heart attack. God is still in the miracle business, and it's still his will to heal you. But the reason he says by his stripes you were healed, because there's nothing he's doing about it. The ball's in your court. You might have a situation in your body where the ball's in your court where you need to change the way you eat. You need to walk in the light of revelation you have. Maybe I said something to you about your diet, or I said something to you about the way you're supposed to eat and things like that, and you just keep going on like it doesn't matter. And meanwhile, things are building your body. God saw in advance Satan's plan to give you cancer. Or to give you some disease, but you just trot it right on because the science is on the way to heaven. Remember last week? The science is on the way to heaven. Satan's been known to be a deceiver. He plays games with the sign. The road is on the way to hell. He switches them all, say, on the way to heaven. You walking down there, fried chicken every day. Hey, I'm on the road to heaven eating this stuff. That's on the way to the grave early.
Today's message has been titled, The Blood Still Speaks.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Precious Metals Reclaiming Service, an underwriter of the